All right, this Wednesday night is different. We're coming up on that part of our Wednesday night get-together where we invite in guest speakers, you know, and have in the summer months we have that. But we have four additional Wednesday nights to fill up that whole vacuum there. And this, as classes are arranged, I think there's some maybe 10 lessons in each session. And so we have four special classes, and these are the kinds of lessons that we're having. Tonight, we're discussing four things that every Christian needs. Now, I want you to look down at the bottom of that screen, because the lesson three is every Christian needs to have a prayer life that works. Now then, let me challenge you. Take out one of those cards. It could be one of the green slips. It'd probably be better if it's just one of those attendance cards. And write down four words. And then you may want to make notes beside these, but I want you to be a part of thinking about this class. The first word, and don't go ahead and change slides yet, but the first word is what. What prayer really is. If you had to define prayer, how would you define it? Well, it's what you do before you go to sleep. It's what you do before Thanksgiving dinner. You know, we're supposed to be thankful on this day, and at least that one time we'll always offer thanks. What is prayer? Do people misuse prayer? Do they have an ulterior motive in their prayers and everything? And I want you to just think about as simple an answer as you could give. You've got a grandson or a great-granddaughter. Why does great-granddaughter sound so nice? You know, the daughter part of it, I think, sounds better than the grandson part of it. But if they're 3 or 4 years of age and you want to talk to them about prayer, you got a little brother that's, you know, 3 or 4 years of age. You want to talk to him about prayer. Make it as simple as you can. Old Brother Nichols said, I know I'm old Brother Dan, but there was an old Brother Nichols when there was a young Brother Dan. And Brother Nichols says, boys, when you preach, put it down where the calves can get it, and the cows will find it. That's a pretty good idea about teaching. What
was that, Gus?
Is prayer?
Was that Gus?
Huh? That was Gus Nichols, yes. He said, was that Gus? And Gus did preach here, because remember Bill Ingram Sr.? Gus Nichols preached, wow, would that have been nearly 100 years ago up in Fort Pierce? And Bill was baptized as a teenager by Gus Nichols up there in Fort Pierce. The second question you need to ask, why? Why? Why is there prayer? Why do we need to pray? It's going to happen anyway. Predestination says it's all laid out there, and God's got a magic plan, and there's nothing you can ever change. Why do we pray? And there's a lot of answers. And David's helped outline a lot of this tonight. You can see David's influence. First of all, look how beautiful the slides are. And they'll be color-coded and everything. I want to give David all the credit for when it comes to this. I'm still in writing the ABCs in kindergarten when it comes to trying to use all this internet stuff and everything. Same message gets across, but it seems like it's a whole lot easier to listen to it whenever you have that beautiful picture. So we got the words what. You've got the word why. Now, write down the word how. How do I pray better? How do I build a stronger prayer life? And so I want you to be thinking about that. I mean, you think about writing a paper or something. Aren't these the kinds of things that would be involved in writing a paper to cover it? And that is what and why and how. And the fourth one, and we hope we have enough time to talk about that, is what. And by that we mean what happens when you pray. The simple answer is prayer changes situations, and prayer changes the man that prays. It changes you. It'll make you a whole lot more conscious of others. How do I build this in my life, and what happens when I pray? All right, you got an answer to number one? Go ahead and put these major points that are up there, and we'll be talking about them in just a minute. Simple answer. What is prayer? Roderick, what's prayer? Did you hear that? A lot of wisdom come out of the head. I don't know if you're smart about anything else, but man, did you ever hit that one right on top. What is prayer? It's when you talk to God. Anybody remember the name of that hurricane that came through Louisiana, New Orleans? That devastating hurricane, wow. Would that have been 20 years ago? Would it have been every bit of that? I mean, it just destroyed it.
Katrina.
And at that time, my son Jonathan had something before there was any chat rooms or anything. He developed, Buzz was headed out also. Well, Buzz sitting over there. No, he's not over there now. But Buzz developed our own ability when the internet was just being born. And Buzz typed in, was it 200 different tracks and put them on a church's website. And that's before you had web pages. I'm talking about it's baby internet. And Buzz was not that old of a Christian. He hadn't been a Christian all that long. But he personally typed in, took tracks and typed in, I don't know how many, but as bunch as on. He distributed 2,000 tracks before there ever was anything like internet chat room. Just a guy who is, just learning about all this computers. Wow, that could be used. Jonathan did a similar thing. It was a little bit later and everything. But you could come in and enter a chat room. And it was a lady that came in that chat room, and it's not modern kind of chat room. It was something new and novel. And she was not on the coast in Louisiana, but inland. And she said, we don't have any power. Some way she had enough power, battery power to come online. And she says, they come by every day to check to see if any more of our people are dead. She said, I'm terrified. And then she said, I've been raised Catholic. And her experience was, I don't have any idea how to pray. Isn't that amazing? Here's an adult. And so in the chat room, I started chatting to her more specifically and direct. And I said, do you know how to talk? Why don't you tonight just talk to God and tell God, like you've been talking to everybody in these private messages that are being sent out in this chat room? She said, I'm scared to death. I don't know if I can do that. You know what prayer is? It's talking to God. And it doesn't imagine, you don't have to have good speak English. You know, God understands those who don't speak good English. You understand? I mean, whenever you put their prayer, it's not empty. It's not vain repetitions. That's not what prayer is. You've got a friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. John, you and I are friends. We share a lot. After class last night, you and I, you know, talked about the Bible. How was that? Well, I was talking to my friend. My friend was talking to me. And God's a friend. Now, He is majestic God enthroned in the heavens. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He's the Prince of Peace, to give the accolades that are given to Jesus. But it's not the flowery language. It's not because you say it just right. Just want to talk to God. What's bothering you right now? What's bothering you? Doesn't it help to talk to a friend about what's happening in your life? You're a young person. You don't know what direction your life's going to take. Do you know you've got a friend that you can talk to and ask him to give you wisdom to make right decisions? Gary and Jackie and I, and Judy and I often eat together. Gary's my son. And Gary says something in almost every prayer of thanksgiving as we give thanks for the food. Help all of our children to make wise decisions. Does it every time. It's all right to pray the same prayer. Do you know anybody that prayed the same prayer? It was a short prayer. What character in the Bible prayed the same prayer? He prayed it three times. Exact word for word. He's talking to His Holy Father. Literally, it's Jesus. And He said, you know what He did? God, let this cup pass from me. He's in agony. And Hebrews says He is vehemently praying. And praying so fervently that the sweat is coming out, drops of blood. Wow, would you like to have heard that prayer? You can. He's talking to His Father. And when your life is crumbling, that's what prayer is. It's not vain repetition. It's not the most flowery things that needs to be said. But Jesus said, pray about your needs. Give us this day our bread for tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? What did He say? That's not what He said. He wants us every day to be conscious. There's adoration of God. Hallowed be Thy name. Caleb, can I tell you a good word for hallowed? It's not even a word in a dictionary. Holified. Our Father which art in heaven, holified be Your name. He prays for the church. And there's a whole bunch of things we can pray about, and if we run down that list, we'll be in trouble. But it's not what you do just as you're sinking in the... You're walking on the water to come to Jesus, and the shortest prayer in the Bible...
Save me.
Lord, save me. I think it's three words instead of two words. Shortest prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me. I hope that wasn't the only time that Peter ever prayed. And you know it wasn't. What did he do? God, I'm hurting. I'm getting old. I've got doctor's appointments. I got financial problems. I got problems in the workplace. I got problems in the school. I got problems with my parents. I got problems with my kids. You know? Why don't you just talk to your friend? God can do something about it. He's able to do it. And God will do something about it. But he's not Santa Claus. Too many of our prayers. The Bible talks about prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. And if you've never just prayed a prayer of thanksgiving, I would encourage you to do it. That song, Count Your Many Blessings. Why wouldn't you just make that a prayer? God, I'm going to look back. Everything's happened today. And I'm thankful that you were there, and I'm thankful for all the people that in my life had taught me how to live and how to deal with all of these things in my life. That is what prayer is. And it's your prayer. To a person who wants to be your prayer, to be your friend, and he wants to help you. Have you got a friend that would do anything he could to help you? You're driving in your car. You have car trouble. Lost your wallet. What are you going to do? I hope you have a friend you could call and say, I'm desperate. You do have one. Your friend may not be able to, but you have a friend who is able to do exceedingly abundant above what you could even ask or imagine. I remember as a child, you know, depression. I'm after the depression and everything, but man, we got one orange for Christmas. Man, that was good. I know how weird that sounds, but you know, it was that kind of situation. Didn't have oranges, man. You're smiling, John. Right there in the Carolinas. You know what it's talking about. And then all of a sudden, go back as a child. You remember that Christmas morning you woke up and there was a big box there? And you opened it up and you went, wow, I never expected this. Our God is able. Now, in reference to prayer, you can't just pray selfish prayers, and that's why prayer changes everything. What is prayer? Why do we need to pray? I think we've already given a lot of those answers. Go ahead and put that up there. Because we're weak. I don't know if you know the phrase, a besetting sin. There's some terminology from way back. A besetting sin is a sin that really impacts your life. Anybody remember Richard Cole, who was a part of this church? Richard, you know, was orphaned when he was 11 years of age and lived in foster homes, and he was just, you know, addicted to drugs and everything. And he and I were trying to write a 12-step program using the Bible, and drugs had burned his brain up so much he could only work 30 minutes. 25 or 30 minutes, that's it for today. I cannot do any more than that. That's just how impacted he was in his life. And I remember saying to Richard, every sin is addictive. I didn't see that for the longest. I thought they're addicts. I've got a temper. And if I lose my temper today, it's a whole lot easier to lose it tomorrow. And I do it two or three days in a row. And man, I have already, you know, taken that first drink. You understand what I'm talking about? Every sin's addictive. And I said to Richard, Richard, you could fill this library over on 36th Street we were studying on. I said, you could fill this room full of drugs and it wouldn't tempt me at all. You know what he said? You got to be lying. Besetting sin is your own weakness. God, help me to be better about the way I treat my wife. God, help me to be better about spreading gossip about every bit of dirt I hear about anybody. And everybody has a besetting sin. That's not in the Bible. I just heard that when I was a kid. I just thought I'd share it with you. I didn't even know where I heard it. But everybody has a special weakness. And that's why we pray, because life is heavy. And because God invites us to come and to come to Him. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, come boldly before the throne of grace. I used to be so timid when I'd pray. You don't have to be timid. You can boldly come to the throne of grace, argue with God on the basis of His nature. Abraham ready to beg and plead with God about Sodom and Gomorrah because he's got relatives coming under the judgment of God in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord's going to destroy it. Can you imagine Abraham arguing with God? Will not the God of this world do right? That's boldness. Can I tell you how to boldly pray? God, you've told me I can come boldly to thee about this matter. And that's why I'm coming. You said you would listen. And Jesus, you said you've been tempted like we are, and you can feel all the problems of infirmities that we feel. Jesus, help me. Isn't that Peter's prayer? Lord, save me. Jesus, help me in that same prayer. What's bothering you? Caleb, you and Roderick are sitting around picking on you a little bit. What are you going to do with your life? Don't know. Got a lot of decisions that face you in the next 10 years especially. What are you going to do? I don't know. You think God could help you along going down that right path? Got any friends at school that are negative friends? Yep, everybody. Your mom and daddy have them too, by the way. Not same friends. What do you do about the negative people in your life that when you're around them, their action just weakens you? Could you pray to God about that? What about telling God, God, don't you lead me into temptation? I think that's one of the boldest statements. When I was a timid prayer, I just thought, you can't talk to God like this. Now, I've changed, modified. God, lead me away from temptation. Help me find. God, you promised you'd give a door of escape. God, I'm asking you. I don't know where it is, but I'm begging you, God, give me the door of escape, the way of escape. And that threefold prayer Jesus prayed, let this cup, not as I will, but your will be done. Got that little sweet girl at your house, Ivan. Why don't you buy her the sharpest knife on earth? She gets in Cub Scouts and she learns about carving. And she wants a knife. Nope. Didn't get it. Didn't get it. You know what God would do? He'd send you to school and teach you how to use carving knives. That's what you do for if it's that important. I remember when David, my oldest son, came in. He'd been riding a broomstick out in the yard. And he came back in and said, "Daddy, I need something." "What do you need?" "I need you to buy me a horse." He didn't get a horse. I didn't even take him to the stable. Does that make sense? But I said to him, "David, where would we keep it? Is it got that big basement downstairs? You going to clean it out? When that horse poops down there, are you willing to take care of that horse? You understand?" Isn't that sort of what God does with us? Sometimes we think, and we work it out exactly how God ought to do it. And if God just do this, it would work out. "God, let me tell you how to handle this. God, here's the way I want you to handle this." That's not what it is. His way of solving it is if you trust Him and know Him, is better than your way of solving it.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, it is.
And we've got to learn that.
Oh, yes.
And look at that last statement. God hears and answers according to His will. What is His will? To answer our prayers. Could I pray that the sun would come up in the west? Brother several years out in California leading a public prayer, and a preacher friend of mine said, he got up to lead the prayer, he said, "God, we are so thankful for the sun that rose this morning in the west." God, maybe it wasn't in the west. "God, we sure are thankful the sun rose this morning." I just love that prayer. I mean, that is that friend that you're talking to. God, help me solve this. Don't try to tell God how to solve it. Abraham was ready to kill his son. Where's the sacrifice? That's what Isaac asked. You got the fire, you got the wood. Where is the sacrifice? And he named that place where that sacrifice of his son was to be made, and he named it Jehovah Jireh. You know what Jehovah Jireh means? God will provide. Look back in your life. Look at how many times you've prayed for things to happen in your life. And some way it's happened. Maybe not exactly the way you want it to happen. But if you think back about answers prayers whenever you were just beyond help and you were just screaming out to God and your soul was hurting so much you just thought, "I can't even exist another day." Has He provided? Yeah. And all that you've done in the past where you've called out to God and prayed to God and God answered the prayers, not necessarily the way you wanted Him to answer it, but in a better way sometimes, the fact He's always done that, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we ask it according to His will. I'm not talking about Calvinism. I'm not talking about where you're predestined to fall down the steps. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is the will of God to give good things to those that ask Him. If you are evil and you would not give your son a stone if he asked for a rock or if he asked for an egg, you wouldn't give him a scorpion, would you? Pretty much the same. Curl the tail around. It's sort of the same shape. If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall God, this is Luke's account, give good things to those that ask Him? Trevin, learn to pray. Roderick, learn to pray. Caleb, learn to pray. Can I tell you a secret? I was in the seventh grade. What time is it? I don't have time to deal with this. I was in the seventh grade. And,
you
what?
You have 8 minutes.
8 minutes. I got two more points to make, but seventh grade, Paul, I figured out who you married determines how happy you are. And I started praying. And as far as I know, I never missed a night. Praying, God, help me find somebody to marry. You know who you ought to marry? The one person that will give you the greatest joy of taking them to heaven with you. And the one person that can take you to heaven with them. That's all that matters. And I prayed that. And I prayed it every night. I didn't know Judy. You know? Too timid to even try to talk to a girl at school, you know? You understand? But I figured it out. And I prayed that prayer every night in the 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. First year of college, second year of college. Oh, June the 18th. Yeah, June of that year we're getting married. The night before the wedding. God, if I'm blind, open my eyes because I want to go to heaven. 13, 14 years of age. What do you want to do with your life? You want to just live and just sort of be fun and have happy and just scatter your life out? Or do you really want to have an impact on the world, on your generation? That's prayer. And He's not going to give you what you want. He'll give you something better. You understand that? And God answered that prayer, thank God, for my wife Judy. How do you build a prayer life? Just think about what we've talked about tonight. I'm weak. I need God. I'm going to pray more. Pray about what's happening in my life. Pray for my children, grandchildren. Great-grandchildren? Would you pray about that? Why would you not fervently pray to God and continue? The words on this, consistently, sincerely, with thanksgiving, praying in faith. And every one of those is a major part of a sermon. When you neglect prayer, we've talked about what happens when you do pray. We carry the burdens that God intended for us to carry. Illustration I heard when I was just a young boy, almost during the days of horse and buggies. You probably never even seen a horse and buggy unless you've been in Amish country. I remember going out to my uncle's ranch. I'm not ranch farm, a little 5-acre, well, maybe a 20-acre farm outside. And riding to church Sunday in a horse and buggy. That's pretty exciting. We had cars, you know, and he had a horse and buggy. That's not bad. And Uncle George said, hey, let me tell about a man I heard. He said, man was walking down the side of the road, had a big, heavy bag on his shoulder. Somebody came by on a horse and buggy and said, come on, hop up here. Don't need you to have to carry that thing. And the man hopped up there in the buggy. And when he got out, he said, I want you to know, I didn't want to be too hard on the horses, so I kept the bag on my shoulder. Casting all your cares. Take it off your shoulder. And then turn over. And go to sleep because you trust God. Isn't that what prayer is? You know, we're weak. Life's heavy. God invites us to come. brings peace. What kind of peace? A peace that passes all understanding. Quote it, this verse, and then our class is over. Be anxious for nothing. You know what that means? Don't worry about anything. But in everything, see, nothing and everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Time out before I quote the rest of that verse. A lady said, my husband is entering a chess tournament. Would it be all right for me to pray that he might win it? Why wouldn't you pray about that? Let God's will. Somebody smarter than you need to learn that you're not as good a chess player. God answered that prayer. You understand? Go back to the verse. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And the Greek says, will guard your life. Translation, will keep your life. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our enemies. Let's be people who talk to God. That's it for tonight. Thank you very much.